Good morning. Our first Bible lesson is from Isaiah 61-1-6. Can be found on page 649 in the Hebrew Bible, and the large print Bible is on page 844. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, and the Lord will arise upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the nurse's arms. And then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephrah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. And if you will turn in your hymnal to page 795, we'll read Psalm 72. Give the Lord your justice. Give the King your justice, O Lord, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls in the mown grass, like showers that wafer the earth. In his days, many righteous flourish, and peace abound, till the moon be no more. He have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayers be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains, and may its fruit be like Lebanon. And may they blossom forth in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May God bless themselves by him. All nations shall call him blessed.
Our third reading, the epistle, comes from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. You can find it in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible on page 181. And if you're looking at the large print edition, it's on page 235 of the New Testament. This is the explanation of Paul for his ministry. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace, that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the scripture that was the inspiration for the song you just heard. If we look to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it is in your pew Bible on page 1 of the New Testament. And it turns out that we're separated only by one page in the large print Bible. It's on page 2 of the New Testament in the large print edition. So this is absolutely a familiar story for most of us. And I'm hopeful that you can listen, because the details are different from what we assume about the story. Let us hear these words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed the star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I am often intrigued to think about what is not written in the Bible. More importantly, though, I'm always intrigued by trying to figure out what it is that God is saying to us, what we're supposed to learn through the stories and lessons of the Bible. Well, this Sunday, we are offered a chance to consider both of these intriguing realities. Today, as you will likely know, is Epiphany Sunday, defined by the dictionary as a Christian festival commemorating the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the persons of the Magi. 12th day. The dictionary also has two further definitions of the word epiphany. One is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a deity, and a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. Well, this, as you well know, this last part of the definition is the aha moment when we understand something in a brand new way. Mark Doctor calls it the V8 moment, when I finally realized that. Well, let's talk a bit about this story of the Epiphany of the Lord and what is not written in the Bible. Matthew's Gospel, that you just heard, is the only one of the four that even includes this story. So we don't have a lot to go on when it comes to understanding much about these wise men from the East. Our forebears in the church and our popular culture have filled in some of the blanks. They tell us that there were three wise men. Scripture doesn't say that. Probably because we have anticipated the three gifts in the gospel: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, over time, these guys were even given names. And they don't agree, but some people say Gaspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. But that's not in the Bible either. If you think about any creche or manger scene that you've probably ever seen, or you think about the song you just heard, you likely remember that these three wise men are right there, offering gifts and adoration along with the shepherds and the cute sheep and cows and camels. Well, that's not in the Bible either. The Bible actually leads us to believe that these wise men showed up at least a year, and probably almost 2 years after Jesus was born. On entering the house, Scripture says, they saw the child and Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. What else would explain King Herod's response to what the wise men told him? He sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Well, since we have a long history of extrapolation about these wise men from the East, let me offer you some thoughts of my own, inferences that are also not written in the Bible. Tradition tells us that these three Gentile wise men, astrologers, traveled from far away, that they had observed the star at its rising, and that they followed the star all the way to Jerusalem and ultimately on to Bethlehem. Now, I would imagine that this was a long and difficult journey, but they used this miraculous star as the guiding light, literally. I imagine that they stopped for directions along the way. Contrary to most modern men, they probably stopped and asked which way to go. The Bible tells us that indeed they stopped in Jerusalem to ask about this child who had been born King of the Jews. And that's how they came to meet Herod. The star was their beacon, and it was their way of finding Jesus himself and interacting directly with this young Messiah. I imagine that their lives were never again the same after they had seen and worshiped Jesus the Christ. I imagine that just like John the Baptist and the shepherds at the manger, these wise men became messengers of what they had seen and experienced, true messengers of the power and glory of God in Jesus Christ. And this, my friends, is what I believe God is trying to say to us, what we're supposed to learn from this amazing Bible story, that each of us is supposed to be a messenger for Jesus. I believe that this life journey of the wise men from the East is a wonderful analogy for the faith journey that each of us is called to follow as well. Consider this. God gave the whole world a bright star in the sky to herald the birth and life of Jesus Christ. But only these magi were wise enough and patient enough to take notice and to follow that star. But God has also given to all of the people of the world a new star, the Holy Bible. But only the wise among us have learned to follow its teachings. Your life is a long and difficult journey, but you can and should use the Bible as a true guiding light. It is not an end in itself, but just like the original Christmas star, the Bible leads us on to an understanding of God's nature, of love and forgiveness. Just as the wise men travel together and stop for directions along the way, we are instructed to travel together along our faith journeys and to meet together regularly to discuss what we're learning, what we're experiencing, and how best to understand and to follow the Bible's guiding light. This is exactly what John Wesley had in mind when he encouraged and frankly even required his followers to meet in weekly meetings of small groups. This is exactly what we do in our Thursday night and Sunday morning Bible study groups, and what we do in our monthly United Methodist men's meetings. The Christmas star lighted the way so that these wise men could have a direct and intimate experience of Jesus himself. And this is exactly what God has in mind for you, that the Bible can lead you on to have a direct and intimate experience with Jesus himself in prayer, reflection, and devotion. The wise men were never again the same after their experience with Jesus. This same transformation will most definitely be true for you once you've experienced Christ's love directly. The star-focused reality for the wise men was that they became true messengers of the power and glory of God and the love of Jesus Christ. And this, my friends, is what I pray for each of you in this new year of 2014, that you will accept God's offer of love. I pray that you will follow more closely the teachings of the Bible. I pray that you will join a group of like-minded Christians on this amazing life journey of faith, that you will become a part of one of our Bible study groups or ask to form a group of your own. I promise to help you in this. And I pray that you will have an intimate and real relationship with Jesus. I pray that you will find yourself becoming a true messenger of the power and glory of God and the love of Jesus the Messiah. May it be so. Amen.